I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 13 and 16 through 18. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful in my ministry. I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments. At my first defense, no one came to support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Years ago, our minister, Charles Fickwit, preached a sermon based on a text from 2 Timothy. Charles was an excellent preacher. He could make the words and imagery of Scripture come to life. One of the accounts which was graced by his perspective was that of Paul's request to Timothy, as recorded in the fourth chapter of that book. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments. The message paraphrases portions of Paul's instruction to Timothy. You take over. I'm about to die. Get here as fast as you can. Luke is the only one here with me. Bring the winter coat I left in Troas. The sermon, which as I recall emphasized Paul's humanity, mentioned the words recorded in 2 Timothy as being similar to those of a last will, or certainly a final letter to a beloved friend. Paul knows that his life is almost over. He's trying to get things fixed so that when he's gone, his work can be continued. Everyone who was with him, save Luke, have left or betrayed him. He knows that winter is coming and it will be cold. Prisons in those days were not heated, and so Paul is asking Timothy to bring his heavy cloak, his winter coat. And he adds, get here as fast as you can. You know, the church fathers and mothers were just human beings as we are. They got hungry and thirsty and cold. We tend to forget that they were not superhuman. This request of Paul's, as well as his comments about the end of his ministry, seem very poignant to me. They tug at my heartstrings. They remind me that the difficulties we're experiencing today are not very different than those faced long ago. They experienced down times, times when nothing seemed to be going right, when they were scared and alone, and in their minds, they were utter failures. Does any of that sound familiar to you? So, let's look at an earlier portion of the reading from 2 Timothy. Paul says he has fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. In Hebrews, another reading from this week, Paul uses the race analogy as well when he relates the faith of Israel, Rahab, Gideon, Samson, Barak, David, Samuel, and the prophets as they ran the races set out for them. Dr. Janet Hunt, in her blog, Dancing with the Word, calls it to our attention that these folks were not perfect role models. They assuredly had their flaws, but they did have faith, and they did run their race. She states, "Perhaps it is so that these are named so all of us, regardless of our strengths and our weaknesses, our successes and our failures, our moral stature or our moral weakness, all of us are called by God to simply get in the race and trust that God will take care of what it means to win. And maybe by simply being in the race, we are among those who are persevering." As Paul said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Once again, recalling that sermon of years ago, I remembered that the request for Timothy to bring the books and above all the parchments opened a window on Paul's inner life. The books would have been written on papyrus, the forerunner of paper, which would have made them prone to deterioration. There was obviously something in those books which Paul wanted to review, but notice how he asked more vehemently for the parchments. Parchment documents were much less prone to decay and would have been used to preserve writing that was more precious, the Scriptures, God's Word. Paul read Scriptures to shore up his faith and to give him strength in time of need. He was in an extremely dangerous spot, both physically and emotionally. His life was about to end, and he would not be able to complete the ministry entrusted to him. To what did he turn in this time of personal distress? To God's promises, to the Scriptures, to God's Word. That was the source of his faith and thus his strength, the Word. Not that he had won the race, but he had run the race and had finished it. And through it all, he had relied on the Word. And so, here we are in Advent 2020, possibly one of the worst years on record, and we await the coming of the Christ child. Humans are alone. We're cold. We're hurting. We're naked. We have not won a single thing. And like Paul, we may feel as if we're totally isolated with no idea of what is coming next. But we're told in another of our readings this week, in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, that long ago God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. His powerful word. That word, which Paul relied on to strengthen him and sustain him through his darkest days, is Jesus Christ, God's own Son, whose birth we await during this Advent season. As John tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us." We await the coming of the Word, God's Son, Emmanuel, God with us. Friends, 2020 may be a difficult year, but we are not alone. We have the Word. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of waiting in an imperfect world. Teach us patience, Father, and teach us to trust you. Thank you for the gift of your Word, your Son, Jesus. Help us to welcome him joyously and to share the love we receive from him to a lonely and hurting world. In his precious name we pray. Amen.